There are a number of things that Jesus said in his years of teaching, preparing his apostles and disciples. There are a number of things that he talked about that they didn't particularly agree with. Sometimes they would confront him with this, like Peter did at one time when Jesus was talking about going to Jerusalem, he was going to suffer, he was going to die, but he would rise again. Well, Peter didn't want to hear that. And so he called him aside and he said, "Lord, you know, this isn't the kind of talk that's going to draw people. You know, you've got a pretty good crowd following you now. If you want to keep them, you better tone that down just a little bit." And remember what Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." And another story, not too long after that, we read about the disciples, and Jesus is talking about all these serious things. And when they arrive at their destination, Jesus said to them, "What were you talking about while we were on the way?" Well, they were kind of embarrassed because they were talking about who was the greatest among them. So somewhere along the way, they just kind of put aside that message that Jesus was trying to relate. They just didn't hear it. They just didn't want to hear that. And then it wasn't long after that we read about the young man, the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to gain eternal life?" Remember, Jesus told him, "Observe the commandments, love God above all things, love your neighbor as yourself." And remember, the young man said, "I do all these things." And then Jesus said, "Well, get rid of all your wealth, come follow me." And the story says he walked away. So sometimes the things Jesus talks about are not always easy. Today's gospel story is another story for us. It's Bartimaeus. Here's a poor blind man sitting by the roadside begging. And he's heard about Jesus. He's heard about the marvels he was capable of. Somehow or another, he had a deep faith in him. He believed that he could help him. So he kept calling out after him. He kept calling, "Jesus, Son of David." And finally, he got the Lord's attention. And Jesus said, "Bring him over here." And he said to him, what do you want me to do for you?" Remember, the blind man said simply, "I want to see." Well, he was immediately cured of his physical blindness. But it's also like a huge veil was lifted from his spiritual side, the symbolic side, where he was healed of that spiritual blindness. And the story says, he got up and he followed Jesus immediately. He was convinced he was the one, and he wanted to be a part of this. So Bartimaeus kind of speaks for us today. There's a lot of things in our life that we have a pretty good idea are not really quite what they ought to be. We know that according to what Jesus has taught us about the way of life he asks us to live, about the way he wants us to treat people, all of these things, we know in our heart that it's somehow in there. It's somehow in here. But we manage to pretty much block it out so that we can carry on our own habits, our own way of life, our own relationships, our own whatever it may be, way of doing business. And we justify that what we're doing is perfectly all right. As long as I don't talk about it, I don't know about it, I don't have to do anything about it. As long as I don't see it, it doesn't exist. So I can do whatever I please. So we pretty much can blind ourselves to whatever we choose. And we do that quite a bit. Where we justify. I've gotten into the practice of doing whatever it may be. Maybe my habits of drinking are just overindulging. And somehow or another, I justify myself by saying, "That's the way it is. That's just the way I am. I grew up that way. My mom taught me that, whether she did or not." somewhere along the way, we take responsibility. But I justify that. Either that, or if I'm doing something that I know is not, is questionable religiously, as far as my religious life, my religious practice is concerned, I will either get angry and so that nobody wants to discuss the issue with me anymore, or I may lie. So, oh yeah, I do that. Yeah, of course I do. I'm very faithful about that. And maybe you haven't seen me inside of a church for a year or more. It's not like a priest used to say every once in a while. People show up at church 3 times in their life when they're hatched, matched, and dispatched. But we do that kind of stuff and we justify it. See, in the moral codes, excuse me, we look at the moral codes in our society today. It's like we're on a downward spiral. In the last, I've been around a lot longer than most of you, but in the last 50 years, you can see a marked difference in the behavior of people today than it was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, people felt responsible to their families, to one another. They felt responsible to give a good example. And they so that kind of helped motivate them to be and follow what Christ called us to be and what he called us to do. But somehow or another, we've gotten into this thing nowadays where we just kind of accept as the norm the morals that society teaches us. We get into that very easily. We as Catholics, it's very easy to do. I mean, it becomes the standard. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that when I was a kid, I grew up in a little town in Ohio, and there was one divorced lady in town, and everybody kind of looked at her as though she was a really a bad person, which she was not, but that was the view at that time. Now, it's like everywhere else. You know, half the married population is divorced. There was a time when that moral code of was considered sacred. That, you know, you married in God's presence, in the presence of your family and friends, but you committed yourself for life. Now, we know in our world today there's all kinds of complicated things. We're not going to try to get into that, and it's certainly not here to judge anybody. But just think about what's happened to marriage in our society today versus 50 years ago. We've somehow or another, there's just been a gradual spiral that goes down. See, our moral codes today, I mean, the way people talk on TV, I mean, that would never be allowed. The songs that people sing, I mean, terrible stuff. That would never be allowed. And people would accept that. They would accept that as a fact that I'm a Christian person. I believe in God. I believe in respecting myself. I believe in respecting other people. I know who I am. I know who Jesus Christ is. And I choose to follow him. But it becomes very easy for us to fall into this downward spiral. So our moral codes today are practically non-existent. You do whatever you feel like doing. If it feels good, it's perfectly all right, according to society. So how is society going to teach you any moral code if you have no God to base it on, if you have no value to base it on at all, if the only thing is to please people and sell stuff? So the spiral just continues to go down. And it's too easy for us to get into that and to adopt it and just take that as the norm. The respect for human life. Look what's happened to that in the last 50 years. And we can go on down a whole list of stuff. Honesty. I mean, there was a time when people wouldn't steal a pencil from a workplace without coming to confession and confessing it. Now, you walk off with half the place and don't feel there's anything wrong. They owe that to me somehow. Or people lie. I mean, sometimes you don't know if they have any idea what truth is. And they certainly don't want to hear about it. If you say something to them, well, that's not right. Well, I say, yeah, I can prove it to you. Well, do it. But they can't. But somehow or another, we just kind of accept that as the norm. You know, what's interesting is that we as Christian people, to our baptism, we were dedicated to Christ. We put on a new way of life. The rewards that we were hoping to get one day is fantastic. But along the way, with these teachings of Jesus, where sometimes it's not easy, sometimes it's going to be difficult, sometimes you have to make decisions that other people may not like, that maybe you don't like yourself, but you know it's the right thing to do. So instead of just following the norms of everything around us, remember, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to not just live in the world and accept it as it is. Our role here is to transform the world, to make it a more God-like place. But we don't do that if we just keep grabbing up everything else that the society tells us is the right thing to do because it makes everybody happy for a while. We're supposed to be in this world to transform the world. But we don't always see that. We don't always see that. Because it's just too easy for us to be absorbed into a society as it is. We have to go like Bartimaeus. We have to go to our Lord and say, Lord, I want to see. I want you to somehow lift this blindness that keeps me from being and doing what you expect of me. Instead of letting society set the norm for who I am and how I act and what I do and what I don't do, we promised when we were baptized that we would allow our Lord to be that for us. So the story about Bartimaeus is just kind of a reminder to us that we have a job to do. And we can't do it as long as we're blinded by what's around us. And so we may have to go to our Lord and specifically ask him. When he says to us, what do you want me to do? I want you to relieve me of this specific blindness that I know is keeping me from being and doing what you called me to be, what you called me to do. Our job in this world is not to live the norm, but to transform it. That's what our Lord asked of us.